Hey, yo, what's up? This is Rick Thorne, and welcome to the show. On this episode, I got my good friend Trevor Kevlow. He's a comedian. He's a funny guy. We're going to talk about comedy. We're going to talk about life. Let's do this. Yo, Trevor, what are you doing?
What's up, dude?
I feel like I was just talking to you. It's weird. No. Zoom. People are against Zoom.
Why is that? What do you think? If you think it's the conspiracy theory that the people that own it are data mining it?
No, I just think it's better in person. We all know that. But, you know, sometimes, you know what I mean? You got to do what you got to do, you know?
Yeah. You know well, saying? I mean, your background's awesome, man. Your backdrop and stuff. That's really cool.
I created this little studio. I got lights. You know, you can't see them. I got lights here. I got my GoPro going. I got a little studio here, dude. It's cool. I got my Paul Frank headphones. What's up?
Yeah, I dig it. It looks good.
You look like you're in a really bad, horrible Motel 6.
I've been in plenty of those in my day, man.
Look like you're on a, you look like you're on some shady movie set.
I lost my virginity in a Motel 6 in Scottsdale.
Damn. Like last year?
Yeah. 6 months ago, close.
So what's new, dude? What are you doing? What's going on? You're in California for a while.
Yeah, I'm staying with my buddy in Santa Monica, right by the beach. We're like two blocks off the beach or something like that. Been here for what, almost 2 months now? And I head out to Chicago next week for about a month or so. And then, yeah, I come back and I might have another road gig. I'm working on it right now with somebody. So
that's cool. Yeah. You going to move back to California?
I'd like to. It's been difficult. You know, it's so fucking expensive. And it's like comedy doesn't pay shit, as we both know. You know, at least comedy in Los Angeles doesn't pay very well. It's once you leave is when you make money.
Yeah. But, and you still got to work a lot too. I mean, there's not as if it's a bad thing. It's just, you got to keep climbing, you know, building your momentum, building your fan base, you know, and that takes, you know, could take a while or depends. Everybody's different, bro. You know what I mean? But, you know, but we can't say there's no money in comedy, because a lot of people making a lot of money in comedy right now.
Yeah. There's money in comedy. I guess it's finding the way to get it. You know, to earn it, to get it. And it's, you know, I've done well outside of Los Angeles, but when I'm in town, I like to produce shows. I enjoy producing shows too. That's the other thing. A lot of comics hate it. Can't do it. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for sure. But I'm going to back up for a second. We're going to talk about your shows, you're promoting stuff, but also in LA, I don't think a lot of people know this, that like, there's not money to be made. You would think, oh, Hollywood, like, you know, oh my God. It's just like, no, man, this is like the last place. Is New York the same way? Is New York the same way as LA?
I don't know.
I always heard New York's rough too, so I figure they're kind of the same parallel. I don't know.
Yeah, I've never done New York. I've been offered, and a lot of people have said that they're like, come by, you know, come stay here for a few weeks, do the New York scene, check it out. And I've always wanted to. I like it. It's just, I never made that leap. So yeah. I got really into the road a couple of years ago and stayed on it for almost 2 years now. So,
oh, cool.
But yeah, it's worn me out a lot too. So, you know, going on the road, starting this late in your life, it's like, you just don't have the energy as you used to.
Your ass is tired.
Yeah. So,
well, it's kind of weird though. If you think about it, like LA, a lot of people come here, tourists and stuff, you know, but it's just like, there's no money to pay comics. Like, it's just weird. Is there too many comics? Is everybody just like trying to get noticed, and they don't care about the money as long as they get noticed to get, it's weird. You would think like LA of all places would be a place like music. Music's the same way in LA and in the Valley and stuff. Like, dude, it's like dead as a doorknob. It seems like there's nothing. I don't know. It's weird. You would think, you know what I mean? You would just think.
I agree. And I do not understand that phenomenon. I actually saw a clip yesterday. There's a comedian in LA. His name's Jay Light. I've known him for years. Sober guy too, like me. And
sounds like a rapper, Jay Light.
Jay Light, yeah.
Jay Light.
It's funny because he's like a nerdy looking white dude from like South Texas. Super cool guy, great comic. But he talked about how comics, no matter what, should get paid, at least for their time. And what I think is, like, I try to pay my comics, but I'm completely independent, and I'm not funded or supported by anybody. So when I have a door deal, I only do like percents off the door. Now, if I get a, I call it a budget. If a club pays me to put together, put, put a show together, everyone gets paid no matter what, even if it's $10. And he made a good point. He's like, even getting $10 for your time, it's like, you know, and Tripoli told me years ago, he said, never, ever turn away money, even if it's $5 or $10, which to this day, I agree with. I never turn away money because it's your time and it's your art form too. You know, it's.
Yeah. I just had this thought, and BMX, if you get paid, then you're considered a pro.
Yeah.
Some people say that. But then it's like, but if you get paid and you never compete just to do shows, are you considered a pro? These are all questions. So I started to think just now, if you get paid as a comedian, even if it's $5, are you considered a pro comedian?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Here's
the weird thing with comedy is like, or stand-up, whatever, is once you leave Los Angeles, it's like clubs and venues and bar shows and everything are more than happy to pay you. It's for some reason in Los Angeles, there's like this weird,
you should be grateful to be here.
Yeah. It's like, there's this arrogance and this ego that's like, oh, well, I put you on my show and I know so-and-so and they, you know, and it's like this weird, weird thing, but then you leave LA and it's just like I said, clubs, venues, bars will pay you. They'll have no problem, or they'll give you the door or whatever. And it's a very, like I said, interesting phenomenon. I can't really explain. Maybe it's always been like that and tides are slowly turning. I can't say anything about New York because I don't know about the scene, but Chicagoland, Austin, Phoenix, every place I've done shows at, you know, recently, it's like, you know, I get paid. Except for Phoenix, I didn't get paid. That's different.
Are you holding your phone?
Yeah, I'm holding it. Is it shaking?
Earthquake.
Oh, that's me. Yeah, I can put it down somewhere.
You got the shakes. No, it's okay. I mean, we could just say we're in LA and there's an earthquake the whole time. You got to bring it up though, because then you're gonna have the double chin going on, dude. Or you can move you can move somewhere and be it's okay, dude. Yeah, you can hold it. You can hold it.
No, I'm gonna chill on the couch.
There you go. There you go. Yeah.
There you go.
Looks even shadier. Dirty ass pillowcase behind you with the drool stain.
That's not drool.
Oh shoot. There we go. Yeah. Or you could up and move, like everybody up and moves, like you can move to Austin, like the whole, you know, a lot of comics did from LA.
I did.
Yeah. You did. Yeah. But it's just a weird thing to me. I mean, you know, I think like movies and music and comedy growing up as a kid in the Midwest, that like LA would be the spot. And it's just like, it is, but it's almost kind of like a huge skate park. Yeah. Of learning comedy, and then you go out and then you go on tour, and that's when you really make money. I don't know. It isn't just about money, if anyone's listening, but you got to understand, you got to pay comedians and entertainers and musicians for their services. They're entertaining you. I mean, there's always this, because I felt this way before with some people in my sport, of like, they always felt weird if they got paid, because, you know, therefore it's not about the money, dude, but it's like, yeah, but I want to make a living doing what I love to do. So you have to accept the fact that like, you're entertaining. Like if I was competing, bro, I'm entertaining people. They're not competing. They're watching us compete. So it's like, you got to pay people. Don't you agree with that? Like how do you expect comedians to keep going if they can't make a living at it? They can't do it anymore. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I agree. And it's a weird thing too. It's like each comic's different. There are comics that will not do shows unless it's paid. And there's some out there, especially outside of Los Angeles. Like when I was doing shows at Fourth Wall, I was losing money every single show because I had to rent the space and then I was paying for ads. So I was losing at least $100 a week on that show. And one of my favorite things to do, and I've worked in hospitality for 25 years, I've run nightclubs and bars and restaurants all, you know, in three or four different cities. One of my favorite things to do as a manager was hand people their tips and or their checks. I loved handing people money because there's like a camaraderie there. It's like, you earn this, here you go. This is yours. And then there's a spiritual thing about that too. Like the exchange of energy, the exchange of money for their services. It got really deep. And I've been doing that. I've had that mindset for fucking ever. Comedy, it's weird because this happened in Austin quite a bit. When I was running shows at Vulcan for a while, and I would I would want to, I would tell the headliners, the names that drew, you know, the people, I would say, you know, I can pay you this much, blah, blah, blah. And some of these guys, or, you know, whoever, girls, whatever, human beings would turn down money. They're like, it's all good. Keep it.
Weird.
And I was like, yeah. I was like, are you sure? They're like, they're just like, keep it. They're super cool about it. They didn't care. They just wanted the spot to work out. These comics also, you know, I looked at Mop and they make, you know, they're legit, like, you know, millionaires or whatever. So they don't need the 50 or 100 bucks as much as like a working comic or road comic or somebody new. So, or me, you know, who was making a living off of producing and performing in the town before it blew up to what it is now. But
yeah,
I also understand, like we talk about this, like, dude, gas out here. I've got to, you know, I pay at least $5 a gallon for gas because I've got to put premium in my car. You know, you drive, I'm not, am I going to drive 30 miles round trip, 50 miles round trip, maybe pay for parking, maybe pay for drinks and or food at the venue. And then like, you're losing money sometimes. And that's tough, you know, and as a hybrid, a producer and a performer, it's like, I constantly deal with that battle, but I'm also, like I said, I'm independent. I'm not funded by anybody but myself. And it's tough, but people know this up front. And if they're not interested in the deal, the show, you know, how the finances work, that's cool. I'm like, all right, it's just business. And I hope people don't take it personally, but it's just, you know. Well,
yeah. And I mean, you know, there's it's funny, man. Cause when I think of, like, comedy, from, you know, I compare everything I do in life from bike riding. Cause it's a parallel emotion, a parallel achievement. You know, you work, you do this, but there's different languages and you know, the way things are run differently. But I always think it's like, you know how many bike riders there are and skaters in this world that kill it, that don't make a dime and they love to do it, but they're not performing. They're going out and riding and doing their thing. And they have these dreams, you know, it's just different. You know, like, I just think it's finding a way to get paid to what you love to do, and not just get paid, but get paid to where you can do it a lot. You know, that's kind of the key. And we're in a very saturated market, dude, like comedy, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I wouldn't consider people say I'm a newbie, but I've been doing comedy 5 years, but I've been doing all kinds of shit my whole life, you know, in front of people and stuff like that. But it's just like, you know, you just gotta find a way to, you know, how long can you go? I guess for the reason I brought that up, I'm just rambling here, but how long can you go before you're like, dude, I can't do this anymore? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But then again, comedy is, if you book a show, you're like, it's 15 minutes. If you get 15 minutes of your day.
Yeah.
Right.
See, that's the interesting thing about comedy versus all these other art forms and things. But like, when you ride, you can ride all day. I can't do comedy all day.
Right.
Think about it. I mean, say, you know, a standard job in America was 8 hours. Now it's probably like 3 or whatever, or 50. It just depends on, you know, but it's like, we'll just say, take the 8 hour day as a model. An 8 hour day, like, you could probably ride for at least 4 hours and have a blast. You might maybe ride longer.
Yeah. You know, I usually ride a couple hours and that's it.
Yeah. I know. I know musicians, that plenty of musicians, and you're a musician as well, that could just jam for hours, get on the guitar, the drums, sing whatever, and just have a blast. I sing, I don't know as much, but I think with comedy, it's more writing. We can get into kind of like hours of writing, but that, you know, it's like the actual stand up is, you can't work on stand-up for hours unless you're a kid in the mirror, like, you know, like some Andy Kaufman shit from the movie Man on the Moon or whatever.
Yeah, but you know what, the worst thing to do is to practice in the mirror.
Yeah,
I learned that in acting school, because if you practice in the mirror, like acting school, I learned this, then you're stuck on yourself, because you're looking at yourself and you're looking at, don't practice in the mirror. I want to comment, dude. I'm sorry, I just kind of spaced for a second, but I want to go back and say, that's cool that you pay your comics, you know, and that's cool that you take that consideration and you care about that, because I think, you know, how hard it works, how hard it is to be a comic. But I don't know, man. I just get so, I don't know. I don't know. I just think that finding a way to do what you love to do and get paid isn't a bad thing. I guess that's what I'm trying to say. Like,
I think it's awesome. Yeah.
Some people think it's bad because they feel like it's an art form. Therefore, you shouldn't get paid. You know what I mean? You ever met someone like that?
Yes and no. Yes, I have met people like that. I'm mixed with it because I'll do a show just to do a show. I don't get up as much as I want to, but that's because I've also been out of LA for like a year. So I try to get up and do what I can here. And if it means not getting paid, it means not getting paid.
Right. It's good to do a show with people that are bigger names, but not worry. I've done that to where I don't make a dime. And I'm like, this is cool. I mean, it's just everybody listen. I don't get paid for every comedy show I do anyways. I did a show last night. I didn't make a dime. You know, and it was at the dime.
It was at the dime.
Tiny. So yeah, until you get to that level where you're booking out stadiums or some shit, you know, you just gotta grind it, bro. You gotta grind it. You gotta do it for love.
Yeah. And it's like I said, it's a weird phenomenon. It's like, I'm from Chicagoland, but I don't consider myself a Chicagoland comic or Chicago comic. I consider myself an LA comic. This is where I made my bones. This is where I kind of planted my flag. I did a lot of stuff in Chicagoland, Vegas, Phoenix before I moved here. This is really where I developed, you know, my style and stuff, but it's also like the roots of where I'm from, which is Chicagoland, and, you know, living all over the country for the past 24 years.
Yeah.
But, you know, like I said, it's when you go to these other cities and it's like, you know, people are, I remember when I was in Austin and there was a comic and she came in and we booked her on a show, and then she was like 4 months in and she was like, what's the pay? And I was like, there is no pay. I go, you know, and it was a guest spot. That was the thing. I didn't book her. It was a guest spot. She goes, oh, well. And I said, I give all my comics CBD rolls or whatever, and Delta 9, because I was actually had a sponsor out there. This company was sponsoring me. So they give me a huge thing of Delta 9 and all the CBD stuff. And that's how I would give that out to the people, but I give the comics a bunch of that. And she was like, well, I don't know if I can. And I was like, you asked me for a spot. I gave you a guest spot. Then you asked me to get paid. And I'm like, no, this is, like I said, she was like 4 months in and it wasn't anything personal. And then she went up on stage and she just talked. She didn't have any jokes. She was just kind of talking, having a good time.
Therapy.
And then, you know, exactly. And I'm like, this isn't an open mic. Like, where are your jokes? You know, and that type of stuff. Like I was in Austin in the summer and I did shows there, and the scene's completely different from when I lived there 3 years ago. Like it's blown up so much.
Yeah, because of Rogan and the mothership and Hinchcliffe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, when I was there, there was literally like two or three comedy clubs, and one of them wasn't a true comedy club. They were an EDM space that did comedy, and that was the main club, Vulcan, at the time. And they're awesome, by the way. I'm friends with the GM and the owner and the staff there. That's a great club. But now I think there's like 7, 8, or 9 clubs in Austin. And I was like, oh my God. And I'm like, that's a huge jump in 2 years.
Yeah, that's crazy.
You go from like a couple clubs to, you know, basically tripling within 2 years. Like there's a demand for it, but at the same time, I made this example. The people that are old enough to understand this will understand this. What's happening in Austin right now feels like the Seattle grunge scene in the 90s.
Yeah, of course, bro. Because everybody's moving there to get noticed and get signed and shit. That's how the Seattle bands moved up to Seattle because Nirvana hit it big and Soundgarden and shit. That's a pretty funny analogy, but it's true. Hey, kind of true. Well, that's because of Rogan, you know, and his podcast, and they just created a movement. They got the mothership over there. They created something. But I also will say this, Netflix. Netflix, in my opinion, really is exposed, and the internet and YouTube. I mean, everyone can be a comic. Everyone, you know, everybody wants to be funny, and I get it. I like making people laugh. It's the best, one of the best feelings in the world. That's why I do it. But you know, I think Netflix too, and the exposure, and then the you know, and seeing these, like, you know, the hype of like, oh, Fluffy Saw at this arena, Joe Coy, you know, Bert, like, you know, it's like, whoa. And they want to be part of this thing. They're like, well, if that dude can do it, I could do it. And I got a phone and I'll, and that's, and it's great. And I think that's why all that stuff popped up. It's just changed. It's just changed. Is it for the good or the bad? I don't know. Is it oversaturated? I don't know. I think there probably are a lot more comics nowadays because of the internet. You know what I mean? That's just my theory, you know?
Yeah.
What's your take on that? Do you think Netflix kind of catapulted it? Not, I mean, even though comedy's been around forever, look, I'll let you answer in 1 second. When I was a kid, it was like George Carlin and Richard Pryor, and you had to go to the movie theater to see them, or like you had to have paid for HBO, and it was late at night and stuff like that. Like, it was different. Now it's just like, you know, do you think Netflix and all of that helped bring more people saying an awareness to comedy? Like, I could do this too.
Yeah. Yes and no. I think social media and the internet definitely made everyone think they could do stand up or they can do comedy or be funny because I used to call them keg party comics or water cooler comics, like the funny guy or girl in the office, or, you know, cracking a joke here or there, or like sending a funny chain letter, which is now memes. Memes are like the new age chain letters. You know, I remember I used to get those, the chain letters, the emails back in the day. It was like this long ass joke with a punchline at the end. But I think it's, I think Netflix really took a hold of that. And I think it's great. It's given voices to a lot of different people, a lot of, you know, a variety of people, not just with, you know, but a variety of comics, not just like the optics of comics and stuff like that, but just a variety. I think it's good. I think, like I said, social media, when I say internet, I feel like an old guy. But social media has really turned
AOL.
Yeah, AOL chat rooms. That's where the first like troll started, by the way, because I was a chat room fucking whore. I think social media has turned everyone into a comic. Like, you look at the comment section and some stuff, and I'm like, you'll see like banter and stuff. And I'm like, this shit's funnier than half the comics I see at shows and whatnot. But then again, they have nothing to lose. They're sitting behind a desk or on a phone, in their toilet, in their office, on a work site, whatever. And they have nothing to lose because they're just a picture and you know, words and numbers. Whereas comics, we have to not only perform, we have to write, we have to develop our style, and we have to, you know, actually put it into a, you know, the standard, you know, model of, you know, set up premise, set up punch or whatever. And then we have to do it over and over and over and over. Stand-up comedy is the only, from what I know, the only art form where the only way to get better is to be in front of people. Like painting, you just sit in a room and paint. Writing, you write.
True. Yeah.
Guitar, you just sit in your room and just jam for hours.
Yeah.
And it's like stand-up, you don't just sit in your room and tell jokes to the wall like this right here. This guy, my best fan.
You might, I mean, you get mannequins. That might work, you know, or set up a bunch of chairs and be like, what up, people?
That's how you get better. Yeah. But
then at the same time, and this is just my opinion, because from experience, you can go to an open mic and you feel like no one's there too.
Yeah.
No one's on their phone. Yeah, dude's not funny. I'm funnier than this guy. I'm gonna go up next. Yeah, I'm gonna blow it up. Yeah.
I did my buddy's podcast a few weeks ago, and we just launched it this week. And I said, I was making a reference. I was saying how all comics are cunts, and you know, of course, we did that to get viewers and get people in, you know, engaged and intrigued. But it's like, comics can be really fucking cunty, and it's because it's
to other comics.
Yeah, it's because they'll see a comic doing well or kill or get on a show, and then they get upset, like, I'm good or better than this comic. Or they'll see a comic do a bit and they're like, oh, I would have done it this way. It's like they always have an opinion on what they would have done. And, you know, I did South By last year, and I had my friend was there, and I did very well. I opened for Roast Battle at Creek in the Cave. Brian Moses booked me on the show last minute. And he's like, come do my show, do a guest spot. So I went and did that. I did great. I did like 7 minutes, had the audience. They were laughing, howling. This big group of guys grabbed me and were laughing. They're like, you're our favorite comic. They're all wasted. And then my buddy said, after the show, we went out, and he's like, hey man, he goes, there's two comics in back, and I'm not going to name names. He's like, they were talking shit about you. And I was like, they're talking shit, 'cause I did good. And he goes, yeah, they were like, how did he get on this show? And I'm like, because I know Brian Moses. Brian Moses texted me. Brian Moses is such a nice, one of the nicest fucking guys in comedy too. He texted me. He's like, hey, I can't do your show. Come do mine. And I was like, done. I'll be there. So, yeah. You know, it's like, that's the thing. These comics who were mad that they didn't get on the show and saw me doing good were pissed off and then talking shit. And it's like, they don't like me. That's what it is, because, you know, I do what I want. And a lot of people don't like, you know, I think that's, I forgot who says that. Is that like Jackass? I'm going to fuck you. I'm going to do what I want. Is there one of the dudes that says that?
Probably. I don't know. I don't know. But I know that the competitive spirit is good, but I competed for 25 years, bro. I could, I'm fazed by any of these fools.
Yeah, you're a different beast.
I ain't fazed by anybody, man. I could read you like a book. Your energy, I don't have to engage with you. I'm just like, whatever. Yeah. But at the same time, it's like, bop, bop, bop. You know what I mean? Yeah. But comedy is competitive because everyone's trying to make it. And, from my experiences, a lot of people are, trying to make it. You know, it's not an easy thing because it's just you. It's, you know, I went from riding bikes with my helmet and my pads and on my bike to then singing and then thinking, okay, it's just, and there's me and the mic, but the band's behind you. But then to go to comedy is like, there's nothing. It's just you. Period. Yep. You got to create all of it. And it's a different world. So it's not an easy task. And I think a lot of people too in comedy might be a bit socially awkward. And so when they do comedy, they feel like that's their, you know, the way for them to be like, well, you know, create this for them to like talk and create this thing. So I try not to take it too personal when I meet someone, because I feel like maybe they're just, I just label them as socially awkward. If they're competitive, who cares? I already know I got game, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, what's up with Chicagoland comedy? How's that different than LA comedy? In what ways?
There's a weirdness in Chicagoland. Like I've done the city a little bit. I do the suburbs because I do shows at my old venue, which is called Base Camp in Lyle in Four Lakes, but it used to be called The Lodge. Shout out to The Lodge.
What up, Lodge?
What up, Lodge? And we gotta talk about that sometime. I would love to do something there.
We were going to, weren't we?
It was also that weekend
My broke ass couldn't afford a plane flight.
I'll figure something out. I want to talk about that because that would be really fucking.
Hey, bro,
cool.
I got two kids in California raising them, riding bikes, bro, and doing comedy. Yeah. Shit's not easy until I, you know, we'll make it happen. Let's put it that way.
Yeah,
eventually. Hell yeah.
I like the scene in Chicagoland. I like the guy I work with, David Vox Mullen. He's my, I call him Chapter Heads because I've got the brand in Chicagoland. He's
brand
amazing.
In Chicagoland, brand in Chicagoland.
Fucking it right,
brand
baby, right there. Woo!
Oh, what's up? That's like a rap song, bro. Let's start a rap band. So it's weird in what way? Like you just, like people joke about things differently or like the sense of humor?
Yeah.
I'm from Kansas City, so I know, you know, the humor is different everywhere, so.
It can be, there's a weird wokeness to some of the clubs in Chicago, not clubs, but some of the shows in Chicago,
right,
where it's like, there's a very strange wokeness, and it's been there for a long time. It's not just like something new, which is weird because Chicago's, you know, the city of broad shoulders. It's a tough place. Like, I'm not soft, but I do have a sensitivity to me now that I've developed as a human, but I'm not like soft when it comes to like what I'm around, what people are saying and all that stuff. I don't get offended by shit, but.
So you think people get offended there more than LA?
Yes and no. I feel like people in Chicago, some of them actually get offended, where in LA they're not offended, but they want to be offended because it feeds their ego and their narcissism.
In Hollywood everyone's from out of town pretty much,
yeah,
unless you come from Orange County, because there's a, you know, Bill Burr's at the store and then you'll drive up from Orange County to check them out, but most people I think are just tourists, you know. That's what I feel like.
And the shows I've experienced, like, people are laughing for the most part. It's when the comic goes out of their way to be not even edgy, just to be like shitty or rude and isn't funny. You know, you got to be fucking funny. You know, you could say shit on stage and get away with it as long as you're funny. But if you're up there just spewing hate or negativity or being a cunt, like, and by the way, cunt goes both ways. It's not like, it's not a gender thing for me. I used to have a t-shirt way back in the day.
Gender neutral.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Gender. I think it's gender neutral. It's non-binary, the word cunt. Okay, I used to have a t-shirt back in the day called Don't Be Cunty, and Cunty was with a K. And I sold them like that. But maybe I'll bring that back. I don't know.
Australians use that word a lot.
Oh, all the time. Yeah. I've been using that word since I was a kid. So not around my parents. And then I got older. But anyways, it's like,
parents.
Yeah. Even though I heard it from
you. Watch this. I'm going to send them this.
You can't. They're both dead. So.
I know.
They're watching from up there or down there. I don't know.
They're watching you. Right now, they're like, I can't believe it. Every time you say it, they're like, strike your lightning.
You keep saying cunt. Yeah. So it's, I don't know. It's not bad. It's, the scene isn't bad in Chicago. I think it's an awesome scene. I love it. It's a huge city. It's it's a metropolitan area. Like, you have the city, then you have neighborhoods in the city, you have parts of the city, then you have the suburbs that sprawls for an hours, you know.
Let me ask you this from experience. When I think of when I grew up in Kansas City and I was riding bikes.
Yeah.
And I thought and I made a name for myself in BMX by grinding. I had to go to the next level and move at that time because we didn't have the internet and things. And I wanted to move to a place that made me feel like I could achieve my dreams more, that it made me feel. Do you think that maybe that's something you feel like when you go back to Chicago, that's like, you don't feel like maybe you might not get to where you want to get with comedy there compared to somewhere like LA or Austin? So then therefore it makes you want to be like, I want to go there. Cause I know from experience, I like waking up every day and being like, it's beautiful out. There's palm trees. I feel so motivated with life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel the same
way.
That's
me. Like, I love it here and I'm not leaving. And so you got to position yourself to where like, maybe it's not the comedy so much there. Maybe it's just like you don't feel like what you can't accomplish what you need to do there. So you got to bounce, even though you're from there. Does that make sense? Do you ever feel that way?
All the time. I love Chicago. I love Chicagoland. It'll always be where I grew up, but it's not my home anymore. LA is my home. And I've spent the past few years trying to avoid the fact that LA is my home. This is where I feel the most complete. This is where I feel the most. I just feel the most me here. And the other day I was having a hard day. I was just going through shit. You know, it's like, I'm not making a lot of money. It's like, I'm trying to pick up, you know, stuff here and there, do all types of different things. And I, you know what I did? I walked two blocks up. It was a 5-minute walk. And there was the ocean, not even 5 minutes, 2 minutes was the ocean. 5 minutes. I was at the beach. I was sticking my feet in the sand and I'm like, I feel okay. That is real. Like, the sun, the beach, the ocean, people like being vibrant, people riding bikes by me, skateboarding, roller skating, families, young, old, everything, tourists. I was like, I feel better. I got outside, I got out of my comfort zone, and I felt so much better instantly. Yeah. And I love Chicago. It's near and dear to me. It'll always be like my home. But when I'm there, I feel, I don't feel like I'm growing there.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. Yeah, I got you.
I've outgrown it, and I love that city, and I love my friends and family so much. And the support I get in that town is fucking unbelievable. I can't even describe. I am so lucky and fortunate to have so many fucking people in that town and all around that support me and believe in me.
Not after this podcast. They're gonna be like, fuck that guy. He doesn't like Chicagoland pizza anymore. He's going for that New York shit, and California is not even New York.
CPK.
New York style means it's not New York. That's right. Didn't Carlin say that? New York style pizza, because it's not New York's pizza. It's something like, something like that. I don't know. But I get you, bro. I get you. I'd always say that a lot of people move out because of their house. Look at bigger house down here. But it's like, if you walk out your house, you're not motivated. Fuck that house.
Yeah.
Like, life is too short. It's about a feeling. It's about, you know, putting yourself somewhere where you feel like you know, the things you dreamed about could come true, or just the feeling of along the way. You know, hey, California, I'll just say this much. A lot of people don't like California. A lot of people hate California. I don't care. Why would I? Like,
I love it.
Don't come here. There's enough people. Like, stay away. Yeah. If you don't like it, I don't mean that in a mean way, but I'm from Kansas City. I got some shit from a couple people when I moved here. Not much, but I was just like, bro, like, pride will hold you back. I don't have pride in California as much. I just like to live here because it's fucking awesome. The weather's great.
It's nice.
There's shit to do. We got the beach, the mountains. There's all kinds of things to do. To me, that's the active lifestyle that I like to live. But, you know, when it comes to the comedy thing, and it goes back to what we were saying earlier, with all of that said and all this and everything, it just seems weird that, like, entertainment's, like, the bottom on its list when it comes to, like, the entertainers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah.
It's freaking weird. It's weird.
Yeah. I don't understand what it is, but I think it's going to take people in power to change things, or it's going to take the people that are not in power to change things, where it's going to be, oh, come do my show. And then you look at the audience and there's 100 capacity. It's 100 people and you're not getting paid. It's like, unless someone's renting it out. I mean, there's all the variables, you know,
they're paying $30 to $50 a ticket. What's going on? They're buying two drinks and chicken fingers.
Yeah. If there's a 100 capacity, they're paying $30 a ticket. What's that? $3,000. So no,
it's 30 grand, isn't it?
$3,000, right? 100 tickets at $30 a ticket.
Let me see here. 100 times 30. It's $3,000.
$3,000. So who gets that $3,000?
Like, I do.
You can't even.
I do.
You can't even crack off like somebody $10, $20, like, you know, like something a little bit. It's just like, give me a little. You know, give me some shekels.
You know what you could get? You know what? That's what I would give you. This is what I would give you. I'd take the $3,000. What I would give you is, you know, when you're at the bar and it has like the little garnishes of, like, you could put like an olive or a lime or an orange. I'd let you get one orange slice out of there.
Yeah.
One orange slice. That's what you would get.
I used to call that my old club, The Lodge. I used to call that the White Trash Buffet.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, that's right.
Drunk dudes would come up and just eat out of it. I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, they're like, oh, I just want a little snack. I'm like, here's a menu. Get some fries for $5, dude. Come on.
That's funny, dude. Hey, so let's shift gears real quick. Let's talk about your shows that you do and your brand, Corrupted Comedy. Talk to me about this. Everyone out there, Trevor does his own comedy shows, but they're in different states. It's not one area. And different clubs called Corrupted Comedy. Talk to me about this.
Yeah, so it's Corrupted with a K, by the way. Corrupted Comedy. Right now we're in 3 states and we're growing. We're in California, we're in Texas, we're in Illinois. So what it awesome. is, it's just a brand. So it's like, take, people don't understand. When I explain the concept, they understand it better, but it's taking a brand of comedy and it's just attaching it to an existing business model. So instead of like the Improv, which is a brick and mortar business, and developing, you know, a brick and mortars all over the country, because I have no money, because we're independently funded by each show. It runs independently, but I kind of oversee it.
Right.
But what we do is I take the brand and I just, you know, and I go to venues, clubs, bars, whatever. And I say, hey, we want to run shows here. What do you think? And they said, okay. And I say, do you have comedy? Would you like comedy? And then they say yes or no or whatever. And I'm at the point where people are coming to me. So I had this idea when I was in Austin to start doing that. I was just like, I started Corrupted Comedy in Austin about 3 years ago. Then I came back to LA. I started doing it here. I had a guy in Austin doing it. And then I went to Chicagoland and I partnered up with a guy out there who used to run a club in Chicagoland called the Comedy Shrine, which is no longer. And I teamed up with him. He loved the concept. We found the venue. It's my old venue, Base Camp, which used to be the Lodge. Shout out.
Lodge.
But the whole goal is to build a network of comics.
Like Large Marge, the Lodge. Keep going.
Actually, I call it Lodge.
Okay. Oh, yeah, you got the accent.
Yeah.
So you built the concept, built this brand.
So the concept started with the idea of people on the road or people in town that are not big, that are not famous, or even big comics or famous comics or whatever, that want somewhere to work out too. So it kind of, I adopted the philosophy of the Dojo of Comedy, which I had with Sam Tripoli in Hollywood pre-pandemic. And we used that club.
But you guys did that too. You came up with the dojo as well, right?
Yeah, that was Sam's name, and I essentially his idea, and I love the idea. I had the space, he had the idea and the brand. We, you know, it was a great marriage. It worked out, and then COVID hit, and it's gone.
I used to do the open mics downstairs at Sycamore Tavern. Dude, it was rough. Yeah. It was rough.
It was fun.
I went from sold out stadium arenas hosting for Tony Hawk to like four guys at an open mic.
Welcome to comedy, baby.
I went from X Games like, yeah, go, baby, go. to like dudes on their phone going, fuck this guy, I'm going up next.
What's with those tattoos, man?
Oh man, yeah, talk about going back in the trenches. Anyways, sorry to interrupt you. Dojo with Sam, that was a hit. And you're like, okay, and then COVID, that shit ended. And then that's when Corrupted Comedy took over. Were you already doing Corrupted during Dojo?
I wasn't at all. Corrupted came up when I lived in Austin 3 years ago. That's where I developed the name, the brand. And the concept was just like pretty much years of brainstorming. But when I lived in Austin, I was just doing comedy full time and nothing else.
Right.
And I was like, how do I make this work? And I just had the idea, and I talked to some people about it, and they're like, that's really interesting. They just didn't get it. Interesting is always like an interesting word. Because you're like, people are like, that's what they say sometimes when they're like, I don't know.
That's interesting.
But yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's interesting.
So it was just an idea I had. And I was like, I can do this. And I've been on the road, like I said, for a few years. I enjoy traveling. And I was like, I'm going to try this. So I go to these cities and I talk to local comics that are hybrids like me that can produce and perform. And I look at venues and I talk to venues and I see what I can do there. And pretty much every city I can do something. It's just, I have to find the right people that want to do it and can do it. That's the other thing. People want to do stuff like this, but can they do it?
Right.
Like, and that's kind of where I've hit my peaks and valleys is, can this person actually do this, which is putting together the show, marketing the show, promoting the show, all that stuff. They might want to do it, but are they any good at it? And some people just aren't good at it, and that's okay, you know?
Right. Yeah, well, so, I mean, it's rough. I mean, putting on shows and being a comedian as well, you know, is your double, you know, I've done it. I've put on a few couple shows, handful of shows, and it's a lot more work than what people think. I mean, do you find it, let me ask you this, booking, at least in LA, probably outside LA, it might be different, but in LA, the shows that I've experienced, when I book them, it's easy to book. It's hard to get people in that door, man. It is hard. Is it different in Chicago and Austin and stuff?
I think in Austin downtown, it's so saturated right now. It's really difficult because there's all these places
to go. Too much
to
pick from. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But Rogan's, every show at Rogan's Club is sold out. The mothership. Sunset Rooms across the street, I think they're not, every show is not sold out. Vulcan, not every show is sold out. Vulcan's another, but Vulcan also does EDM and music, so they're a hybrid. And then there's all these new venues that popped up in the past couple of years,
right?
And they do all right, but they cater to a lot of the local talent, newer talent, and stuff like that. And then they get the people that move there to come in, drop in. They, you know, it's a place to headline because, you know, a comic that's 10 years in, that's a mid-level comic, is not headlining it at the mothership yet. So,
well, let me ask you this, because Chicago, there's tourists that go to Chicago, and there's tourists that go to Austin. Is the crowd mostly tourists or like people out of towners, or is that like locals?
Yeah. With like the clubs in like the city of Chicago, not the suburbs, it's a lot of tourists. Austin's the same thing. From what I understand with the mothership is, a lot of the people at the mothership are tourists, like, you know, as far as the audience goes.
Yeah.
The locals, I think, you know, they go there. The other thing with Austin is it's a vibrant city. It's a young city. A lot of people are going out, spending money. It's a drinking town, so people are out all the time at the bars. It's been a music town for decades.
Yeah, so I've spent a lot of time there, man. I get it. Yeah.
So that culture just kind of like, not evolved, but like, you know, comedy's there now. So it's like, oh, we have another function to do. Now we can go see comedy and then go see a band and then go get drunk at a bar.
Yeah, because they do Sundance there, and then I did South by Southwest with my band there years ago, and then so they have these Austin's a really cool city, man. I ain't gonna lie, I spent a lot of time there, riding bikes, and I know a lot of bike riders there. A lot of heavy hitters come out of Austin, move to Austin.
It's
a bang. It's got a lot of stuff going on for itself. Just curious, and that's cool about your brand that you've been able to expand. I mean, those are some big cities, you know, like, is that what you're targeting more, is obviously the bigger cities? Cause
I never thought about
going to like a small town just to see how it would work.
That
would be the problem though, to get the comics though. You'd have to get the local comics. You wouldn't have a big name, probably go to a little town.
So what I like to do is I like to take the big city and then go around it. So I don't want having shows in Hollywood, West Hollywood, it's tough because you're competing with the biggest clubs west of the Mississippi, right down the street. So I look at kind of, I don't want to say off-brand cities, but secondary, third tier cities.
Off-brand city.
Yeah.
I live in an off-brand city.
So I don't like, because there's just less competition. It's easier to fill a room. Off-brand cities,
That's some $9.99 store shit.
Like, what is that? Like, what's Lyle, Illinois? You're like, it's an off-brand city, you know, 40 minutes outside Chicago.
It reminds me when I go into different towns and you go into like the dollar store, like, and then it's like experimental shit. They try on people that don't work, like in LA and New York and the big cities. Yeah. It's like something that wouldn't even go together. I saw something not too long ago. It was super disgusting. I'm like, this is some like experimental shit. They're just trying off-brand city. That's where they put that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's like
off-brand city.
It's like go-gurt but gravy. suck at it. Like,
dude, I saw this one that was horrible. Oh, it was horrible. Like, I was like, what is this shit, bro? I don't know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's funny.
So anyway, so you go to these cities, off-brand.
Yeah.
And then you go around. Okay, you don't go to you do go to off-brand?
Yeah, I like going outside the major city where all the action is. It's like people in the city want to laugh. People in the suburbs want to laugh. Off-brand people want to laugh. Everybody wants to laugh. Everybody wants to get off. So it's like, that's kind of what I look at. It's like, you know, off-brand everybody's
people.
off-brand people.
Yo, I live in an off-brand town. I'm an off-brand person.
If I had actual funding, this brand would blow the fuck up within 5 years. If I had real funding or investors, this brand would blow up. And I have a whole concept and a business model I'm working on that is really cool. And I won't get into that because you never tell all your secrets.
Especially I'll steal that shit.
Be somebody that comes across us that's got a lot of money and says, I'm going to take that idea. You know, that's how, you know, billionaires are made.
How Elon Musk got big.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. I don't know how he got big. He's an alien, that guy.
Yeah. He's like alien robot. He's both. He's a hybrid.
Yeah, right. He's crazy. Yeah. So that's cool. So the shows that you do to off-brand people in an off-brand city. how's it? Is it good? Are the shows good?
Yeah.
People come out? You got turnouts?
The shows in Chicagoland are killing it. They're getting bigger. And it's to the point where my guy out there, I could call him Chapter Heads, David Vox Mullen, he has to like restructure the seating because it's getting bigger. Austin, or my guy in Texas, I'm actually redoing that. And then here in California, we have our first show, which you're on this weekend in Playa Vista. Like to call it Playa Vista.
Playa Vista.
So that's the thing. I'm in Santa Monica now. So I'm trying to develop something out here on the west side because there's not a whole lot going on out here. And I want to do something out here because it's right here.
Yeah,
and that's
for sure.
The good part is there's less competition. The bad part is I'm looking for like west siders or people that will come out here. And it's tough because they're like, someone that lives in Silver Lake doesn't want to drive to Santa Monica for a 10-minute spot unless they're getting paid. So I have to be very careful on how I promote the show, whom I promote it to, and how I book the comics. So it's there's a lot of finesse. It's not just like, oh, let's just do a show. There's finesse.
Yeah, there is. There is. And listen, I'm listening to you, the finesse. I just looked up. Yeah. This is the one I found. Sorry, this is on my mind. And I'm glad that, yeah, it's everything, you know, hey, comedy to me, like I said, I do everything back to bikes. I can go to the skate park and be like, I don't like this park, or oh, this park's dope, or this park's, I don't like that ramp. I like this ramp. I don't like this. Everybody's different. Comedy's the same way. You go into one room, it's like, I don't like this room. I like that room. I don't like that room. Every room's different. Yeah. Every crowd's different. So I get it. So your shows are going to be, I think every comedy show's like that. Unless you're like at the mothership or the store and you have a reputation. Obviously there's the store or the improv. Yeah. And then, you know, and there's a vibe and there's a hype to it. Then people will be like, oh, it's great. You know? And so, but it's just a matter of just, you know, I like what you're doing. I think it's cool. I love the DIY concept. I built my whole life around being DIY, and I think more people should to take the initiative to do things instead of just trying to attach themselves to something all the time. Maybe they should do something on their own too. I did find something though for ordinary people in Ordinary City. I was looking on my phone because I remember I sent this to my kids. It's mac and cheese gummies.
Off-brand, baby.
What's going on with the off-brand people?
It's that off-brand life, baby.
When I hear off-brand people, I think of the theme song.
Deliverance. Yeah.
Anyways.
That's good. Yeah.
I said this to you the other day. This lady goes, oh, I did this. I did that in my act last night. It's about the, oh, like it rains, man. You should go down to River's Inn. Your kind of people are there.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? You know? What do you mean? How did you know? Yeah, that's what I was thinking in my head. Like, run. That's good though, dude. That's cool. And I'm excited about the show coming up. You've hooked me up with a lot of shows, and I love you for that. And I appreciate you a lot. And, you know, we've been talking for about an hour, and that's about as long as I'd like to go a podcast. And we cover a lot of stuff, dude. Anything else you want to talk about before we bounce out?
Just follow me on social media.
Get to. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, you do it. You do it. What's your social media?
I'll do that right after. I got to give a shout out to my nephew, Hunter, in Green Bay.
Hunter.
Yeah. I just found out, my cousin told me that he wrote an essay about me on how his uncle is a comedian in Los Angeles and has been in TV and movies and tours the country. And I was so flattered and overwhelmed with emotion. I didn't even know how to react to it. I was like, wow. He's like, I think he's like 11. And it was, my cousin didn't even know about it. He had to go to a PTA meeting. And it wasn't anything bad. It was just like a typical meeting. But the teacher was, the teacher asked my uncle or by my cousin, she's like, who's this Trevor guy? Hunter was writing about him. And they're like, oh, and then I haven't even read it yet, but it was just really, really flattering and warming. And then my little nephew, Brody, what's up, Roadster? So they look at this stuff. I think they watch me. So I got to sometimes watch.
Well,
did they,
well, no, it's cool. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Did they put in the essay that you can't read? Did they put that in there?
I don't know.
Did they say you're borderline ordinary people? Ordinary person?
He's an off-brand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Off-brand.
He's an off-brand. Yeah.
Yeah. Weird. No, that's cool, man. It's always good that your family supports you and motivate your family, dude. That's what it's about. Motivating other people and motivating your family and keeping yourself entertained. What's your Instagram and your all your socials someone can follow with you and your Corrupted Comedy?
Yeah. My socials, it's me, Trevor Kevalo. It's spelled T-R-E, V as in Victor, O-R, Kevalo, spelled K-E, V as in Victor, E-L-O-H. Follow me on all socials under that. That's Twitter, Facebook,
spell?
Instagram.
I thought you couldn't spell.
Yeah, I've been spelling my name like that since I was a baby, by the way.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So everyone listen, follow him on the friggin' his personal one. And then what's the Corrupted one?
Corrupted Comedy. It's Corrupted with a K. So it's K-O-R-R-U-P-T-E-D. Comedy with a C. Too many K's is weird. So it's C-O-M-E-D-Y. And it's Corrupted Comedy C-A for California, Corrupted Comedy T-X for Texas, and Corrupted Comedy C-H-I for Shy, Chicagoland. And then we are growing. I can't get into that now, but we are growing. So follow us on all social media on that. That's on Instagram. Twitter and Facebook, it's just Corrupted Comedy with a K. So, but
awesome.
Yeah, Instagram, we've got the different brands. And then there's Corrupted Comedy main page. So,
wow, you got a lot of brand. Socials.
I got a ton, and that's what I do. I'm a self-made marketer and indie producer. So this is what I do.
Good, man. I'm stoked for you. Well, dude, I'm glad we took time to talk. I'm going to see you soon.
Yeah.
If you're out there, follow Trevor. Come out to a show. Just come out and have fun. It's okay to laugh. You know, comedians are here to make you laugh. And if you don't like something you want to hear, still laugh. You know, it's not a big deal. It's just a joke.
Yeah.
Just a joke. You know, unless you're in front of a crowd of, what's the people called again?
Woke.
No, the where you go to those towns, off-brand.
Oh, the off-brands.
Unless it's off-brand people, man.
Off-brand's the other way.
Off-brands
are our people, man.
We're eating them mac and cheese gummies, bro.
Yeah.
Listen, dude. I appreciate you, dude. Much love. Everyone out there, thanks for listening. Subscribe. Tell your friends about the show. And then follow me as well, Rick Thorne on the Instagram and all that shit. You guys are awesome. I appreciate you. And Trevor, I appreciate you. I'll see you soon, bro. Everybody else, stay rad. All right, cool.
Later. Oh, there we go.
Wait, no, I'm gonna, I'll call you on the phone. I'm gonna close this out.
All right, cool.
Okay, bye.